We're in a series called Roots, and we're talking about roots that produce fruits in our life. A lot of times we're wondering, why do I always find myself being broke financially? What is the root cause of that? Why do I always have problems with relationships? What is the root cause of that? Why do I go from boyfriend to boyfriend or girlfriend to girlfriend? Why do I attract certain people? We're talking about roots. Roots determine what kind of fruits we have in our life. If you have a root of a thorn bush, that tree will never produce apples. Now, you might take apples and glue them to the branches. And people from far off may see, people that don't know you, may see, wow, this is such an awesome person. Look at the fruits. It's an apple tree. But when they get close and try to grab that apple, they'll poke themselves. Have you ever had people in your life that will poke you, that are just like cats? Meow! You know, and their tail goes big. So, roots determine the fruits. God wants a believer to have good roots. Roots represent a secret life or personal life or private life or invisible life of a believer. Would you agree? You have an invisible life and you also have a visible life. What I look like here today might not be what I am when you don't know me or when you don't see me. One pastor said he went to a restaurant and a waitress was really mean to him a little bit, but he left her a big tip. And then she saw the tip and she's like, wow, you were so nice to me, even though I was kind of snappy with you. And the next thing she said, last Sunday I came to your church. And now that I met you and tested you, I'm going to come again this Sunday. Because the man's life was the same in his private as it was in public. Amen. So God wants us to have good roots so we can produce good fruits. Today, I want to read a scripture and I want to talk about a root that you don't want in your life. I want to talk about a root that needs to be uprooted out of your life. Sometimes we get these little seeds that fall into our heart, which is the soil, and they begin to grow. And some of these seeds are thorn bushes, and we don't want them, and thistles. We don't want them in our life. Today, I want to talk to you about root of rejection. If you are writing down, and if you want to write down on your phone, we're talking about root of rejection. Let's open our Bibles to Psalms 94, verse 14. Before we get into this message and read it together. The Lord will not reject His people. He will not abandon His special possession. That's a good news, isn't it? Bible says, even if a mother abandons her little baby, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we know something about the Lord, that He will not abandon us. However, we know something about people, that people will hurt us. People will abandon us. People will love us sometimes, but people cannot love us unconditionally. Would you agree? People cannot love you unconditionally. Sometimes even parents will say something like this: I wish you were never born. Hopefully none here, none of you heard this, but it happens. It happens. So today we're talking about root of rejection. Rejection is one of the most dangerous roots and most neglected and most common in the life of a person. The reason it's so dangerous, it's because it attacks your inner man. The reason rejection is so dangerous, it attacks your inner man. How many of you know your physical body, for an astronaut, the suit that he wears is not really who he is? For a truck driver, a truck that he drives is not him. The real man is inside. Bible says we were created spirit, soul, and body. Bible says our bodies will die, but our spirit, our soul, lives forever. Our inner man lives forever. You know that concept, right? So that's when I say inner man, I'm talking about your personality, your mind, your memories, who you are, will live forever. So rejection results from denial of love. Rejection results from denial of love. Did you know that Joseph was rejected by his brothers? The most egregious, the most destructive rejection. They rejected him and sold him into slavery into Egypt. How would you like to be Joseph? Not really. David was rejected. God placed David into the life of King Saul. And King Saul got jealous of David and his achievements and wanted to kill him. Rejection. Jesus was rejected. Imagine this. The creator of the universe, God, comes down to man and he wants to save them. And they take him, beat him, nail him to the cross and kill him. Jesus was rejected. He knows what it's like to be rejected by man, Bible says. He was despised and rejected. However, he did not sin when he was rejected. Because you can sin when you are rejected. Paul was rejected by the Jews, by the Greeks. Everybody was after Paul. And as a Christian, Bible says you will be rejected by the world, right? But you can't take it personally. You will be rejected. They will persecute you and sometimes even kill you, Bible says. So you will be rejected. Rejection is a result from the denial of love. When one is loved, he is approved and accepted, right? When one is rejected, he's disapproved and refused. And I'm talking to somebody today. This is going to be powerful. Root of rejection destroys our self-esteem, our confidence, and it puts scars, unhealed scars, into our inner man. Let me give you an illustration. Have any of you ever cut yourself with a knife? Ladies, maybe cooking, maybe cut your hand a little bit. What do you do? What is the first response? You want to clean it, cry. Yeah. Right? But you want to clean it up. You want to put the hydrogen peroxide on it. You want to band-aid it. You want to keep it clean as soon as possible. You want to stop the bleeding. Imagine cutting yourself but never taking care of that. Coming to church with a cut finger. What would happen to that finger after a week, a month, a year? It would get infected. Yeah, your physical body will get infected by what? By bacteria, different viruses and things that maybe, I don't know, will begin to attack. And before you know it, your finger will be swollen. It will have a lot of, what is that inside that pus inside it? And if you don't take care of it, you can lose your finger. And if it spreads, you can lose your arm. Well, what happens to us when our inner man gets cut, and it gets cut by rejection, by hurts, by people offending us, right? And if we don't heal it, our inner man is a spiritual man. Remember, it lives forever. It lives forever. Nobody ever dies. Just remember that. What happens is we don't see those cuts on our soul, on our inner man. So we live our life without ever dealing with rejection, with those hurts that were caused in our life. What happens is, just like your physical body gets attacked by microbes and bacteria, your inner man gets attacked. What is that? Can I say something without freaking you out? Are you ready for this? Demonic. Demons are like microbes. They're like flies. Okay? That's why when Jesus cast out a demon out of a man who had a legion of demons, he says, "What is your name?" to the demon. He said, "Legion," meaning 6,000 of us in here. And he said, "Get out of this man. Leave this man." Okay? He wanted to heal. See, the ministry of Jesus was to heal the sick and cast out demons. What is casting out demons? It's healing the inner man. It's healing the inner man. So Jesus wanted to heal your outside, and Jesus wants to heal our inside, our inner man. And so the demon said, "Well, there's pigs over there, 2,000 of them. Can you let us in them?" And Jesus says, "Fine, go." And demons could not live in pigs, right? They want to live in a human. They want to live and control your personality. They want you to be disturbed. They want you to be panicked and living in fear. So they want to live in a man. And so they go and they run off the cliff, Bible says, and die. Demons don't want to live in pigs. Lesson from today. All right. So God doesn't just want us to be healed. And see, our medical doctors, especially in our country, can pretty much fix anything. A couple of weeks ago, I messed up my knee playing basketball, and I wasn't even playing basketball. I was just training, and just watching, yeah, playing basketball, and something broken in my knee. And so I went to the doctors, and they put me in this tube, MRI tube, and I almost panicked, but I was like, no, I don't panic, you know. So I just started listening to the Christian music, and they gave me headphones. Now I'm going to have surgery. So our doctors can do amazing things, right? They operate on our hearts, people's hearts. They do kidney transplants. What about our inner man? Did you know that Jesus came to heal the inner man? Luke chapter 4, verse 18. This is the ministry of Jesus, and I believe this is our ministry as believers. This is Jesus saying about himself, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." That's those broken heart, those wounds in our heart, in our soul. It's not physical. It's so brokenhearted to proclaim the liberty of the captives. Because a person who has a root of bitterness or the root of rejection living in him, he lives in captivity. That root comes around and chokes him and puts him in prison. And God does not want us to live in prison. He wants us to be free, to proclaim the liberty to the captives and to recovery of sight to the blind and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Root of bitterness is an oppressive root. Root of bitterness breaks your heart, okay? Keeps you in captivity. Who wants to live in captivity? No, everyone wants to be free. As the minister of the gospel, we have an assignment. As a pastor, I have an obligation to you, is that you don't have any roots that are destructive in your life. As a pastor, it's my responsibility not just to preach you a tickly messages. Tickle, tickle, tickle. I felt so good today. No, but then you go back home and you're bitter. You got rejection, so you reject everybody else. Your spouse is rejected. Your kids are rejected. Your friends are rejected. You're this angry cat. Okay? You're always pissed off. You're always, you know, offended. Whatever people say, it hurts you. You're always hurt. God doesn't want you to be hurt. God wants you to produce good roots and produce good fruits in your life. So my job, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10, listen to what it says. God says to Jeremiah, to the minister, and he says it to us, to you guys, to Pastor Vadim, Pastor Andy, Pastor Andre, to all of us and other life group leaders and those who are A leaders, double A leaders, triple A leaders, whatever you are. God has a job for you. Listen to this. "See, I have set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down." What? Pull down what? Strongholds in your mind. Those things that you believe that are not true. One pastor I listened to talked about how a couple came to get counseled by him, and they always lived in poverty. And they came and they started talking to the pastor, and he started poking, you know, "What's going on? Why are you guys always broke?" Well, when they were young, they went to some conference, and somebody prophesied that you will always be poor so you can always be humble. Okay, somebody prophesied that to you. God wants you broke, so you would always live with this, please. And that's how they lived. And when he started talking to them, they were bitter because they were looking at other people. People had enough to live and give. They were always living in this, that stronghold was put by a prophet. Now, we don't preach the gospel of prosperity because it's wrong. And we don't preach the gospel of poverty because it's wrong too. You have in the Bible people who are prosperous and godly, and you have people in the Bible who are poor and godly. You have people in the Bible who are poor and wicked, and you have people in the Bible who are rich and wicked. Okay? So they were bitter at God. They had this rejection that God blesses everybody else but me. Those are the types of stronghold. Those are the types of roots that it is my assignment to pull out, uproot. God doesn't want those roots in your life. God wants you to prosper. That's what it says. That doesn't mean you're going to be rich, but it just means that you're growing. Amen. Right? I had so many prophets in this last 10 years, and so much hurt has been done. There were some good ones, but boy, there were some who were just not there. Anyway, so let me read this. "See, I have this day set you over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down, to destroy and to throw down, to build and to plant." So what God wants to do is uproot the root of rejection, bitterness, anger, all those roots. And he wants to plant love, joy, peace. But I'm not going to go there. That's next week. What kind of roots does God want you to plant in your life and grow so he can have good fruits in your life? All right. One of the signs that the kingdom of God has come near us or in the midst of us is the ministry of deliverance. Let's open the Bible to Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. It says this. Jesus said this about himself. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, what are demons? Those are the viruses that attack your, because there's fallen angels and there's demons. Demons are different from fallen angels. Okay? Satan is a fallen angel. A demon is that whatever that evil principality or power is that tries to attack you. It's bodiless. Demons don't have a body. Fallen angels do have a body. Okay? That's why demons want to attack your body. That's why demons want to attack your inner man. Do you remember Mary Magdalene? She had 7 demons in her. What does that mean? She had 7 personalities. She had 7. Jesus cast those things out. You know how people get all these personalities? From hurt. Mind doubles and divides. If you study science and psychology, they will tell you, okay? Don't get scared of this because some of you are like, I got a demon. No. That's not what I'm saying. See, I think personally demons try to oppress you. See, there's possession and there's oppression. Oppression is when demons, and this is what I think a lot of people struggle with, is oppression when demons come and just press on a person. They're trying to pry a door. Okay, Jesus said, I stand at the door of your heart. So your inner man has a door. It's an illustrative way to say it. Jesus says, I knock on the door. And Satan says, he pries. That's why demons oppress. They're pushing on the door. And our scars are those doors. Unhealed wounds are the doors for the demonic to come and oppress us. And that's why it steals joy from you. It drains your energy. It makes you depressed, oppressed. And God did not give us those things. God says, I came to set the captives free. That's the ministry of Jesus. And so this morning, somebody is getting free. Somebody's going to get free this morning. Why do I know this? Because this week was a hell of a week for me. Yeah, I just had crazy things happen in my life. Why? And yesterday, I just felt like the demonic was just pressing. And I'm like, God, I know you're going to do something today. I know you're going to set people free. Some of you, as you're listening, you're getting set free. Did you know that? Because the truth, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Some of you are like, well, I need the demon cast out of me. No, just listen. Open your ears. Open the door for the truth. And when the truth comes in, demonic activity has to flee. If this is too much for you, now is the time to get up and leave. I know most churches won't even touch this subject, but I think you need to be set free and you need to be free, okay? God wants His people to live where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. Now, when it gets hard, pray in the Spirit, okay? Because it's going to get hard this morning. Pray in the Spirit. I'm trying to keep it light, but this might get hard, okay? So let's keep going. God wants more than anything for His children to be set free and healed. Jesus said this, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. How do you know God's Spirit is in this place? Because God heals your physical body and God heals your inner man. And I believe God is here this morning. Point number one, you ready for this? Rejection originates from denial of love. Rejection originates from denial of love. God created us for love. Love is necessary for development of any person, especially our inner man. Love to us is like a sunshine to the flower. No sunshine, the flower doesn't want to grow. We have this big tree in our house somebody gave us, and we put it in the living room where there's lots of sunshine. In a couple of weeks, there's flowers everywhere. These pink flowers on this tree. We put it in our bedroom and it wasn't getting enough sunshine and no flowers whatsoever. So love is important. You were created for love. God is love. Love is so serious that even pets and animals need love. If you take an animal and put him in a cage and don't give him love, the dog will die. That's why humane societies, and we have people who worked in humane societies or have that veterinary degree, they will tell you that they hire sometimes or bring volunteers just to play with an animal so they could be more healthier. You were created for love. God created us for love. Satan, on the other hand, hates love because that's the atmosphere where he cannot move. That's why the Bible says love one another, because Satan cannot do anything. As soon as love stops, as soon as love wanes, it goes down, Satan can move in. If a church does not love each other, Satan will come in and divide the church, and people will hate each other. Bible says they will bite and devour each other. That's why the key at New Life Church is love. That's why one of our highest values is love. Okay? And I know you got sins in your life, and I know I got sins in my life, but guess what? I'm going to love you, even though I know you're not perfect. Okay? I'm not going to go pick on you. I'm not going to go and say, oh, you got a speck in your eye. While Bible says you focus on people who have speck in their eyes, but you don't see a big 2x4 in your own eye. He said, hypocrite, pull out your own 2x4 and watch how your brother's speck will be pulled out. So love is so important. The most important thing for a baby is love. Love. Some doctors say even in the mother's womb, the babies can feel if they are loved. I want to tell you a quick story. In 1989, when Romanian dictatorship fell apart, and that's in Eastern Europe, Romania. Romanian dictator, his goal was to build a big army. He wanted to build such a big army, so he made this a demand upon his people. He said, it is your national duty to have children, and lots of children. You've maybe heard this story. And so after the government was dethroned in 1989, and him and his wife were killed, tried and killed, executed. There was hundreds of thousands of babies living on the streets. Some of you maybe heard this story. UK writer from UK Daily says this. She said, I visited hell when I visited one of those orphanages in Romania. She said kids were living in a little cribs. It smelled like urine and feces, and there was no crying in those orphanages. You know, kids, the way they express their need for love, for food, for changing a diaper, is crying. Well, in those places, nobody cared about them, so kids gave up on crying because nobody will come anyway. When this journalist asked from UK Daily how old these babies are, some of them were like 5 years old, but they looked like babies. They would not grow. She said that was hell on earth. And the government of Romania would not allow international adoption, and it would not allow these babies to be adopted until they were 2 years old. So the parents, mom, maybe homeless or something, would drop a baby by a church maybe, or a hospital, or an orphanage, and just leave them. And most of these kids had parents, but their parents rejected them. The thing about these babies, they did not grow. Mentally, they didn't grow. They acted like animals. And what they said was, we wanted to hold these babies, and when we would hold these babies, they would blossom just by holding them. And they said, although it was impossible, we wanted to take these kids with us to United Kingdom. When Romania in 2000 wanted to become a part of United Nations, one of the rules, one of the legal things they had to do, they had to close those orphanages. But now, what is it, 14 years later, they did close a lot of them, but there's still so many, and especially kids who did not get adopted out, who were special need kids. They were there, and for some kids, they would close them in a room because they acted like wild animals, and they said, we don't have strong enough medication to keep them sedated. Why? No love. We were created for love. I was created for love. You were created for love. Sometimes rejection, like I said, starts in a womb. A guy gets a girl pregnant. They're not married. The guy leaves, and she doesn't want the baby either. She's too young. And so the baby is born, and it rejected. Sometimes marriage is on the brink of divorce, and then a wife gets pregnant, and they said, we don't want it. We're getting a divorce. This is not what we wanted. Or maybe you have already enough children, and that's why you should never say, even if a baby is surprised, you should never say it was a mistake. It's a surprise. We had two surprises in our life, but we love them. I mean, I can't imagine living without those kids. We love them. You gotta love them. You gotta hold them. Science proves if you hold a baby prospers. If you don't hold a baby, it withers and it could die, get sick and die. Sometimes parents want a boy. A dad wants a boy and a girl is born and he treats her like, I don't want you, rejects her. That creates a wound in a person's heart. God wants you to be healed of that. Maybe your parent left you and they cannot restore what they've done to you. But today there is an answer. God wants you to be healed, and the healing doesn't come from your parent. The healing comes from the Spirit of God that's in this place this morning. God wants you to not leave here confused. He wants you to leave here healed, your inner man healed. When abuse takes place, a lot of times rejection wounds are made in our inner man. A survey was done in prison, and the majority of prisoners have been abused by their parents. When verbal abuse happens, I said this already, I wish you were never born. Doesn't matter how bad your kid is or what he has done. One thing we tell our kids, no matter what you do or what choices even you make, we're going to love you no matter what. No matter what. And as parents, as believers, we have to love. That's our key. Love is the key. Sometimes, and this is bad, even worse, sexual abuse happens. And usually it's by the closest one. Am I? Creates extreme instability in your personality. A lot of girls who chose prostitution, they were sexually abused, and usually by very close people. Life. Rejection in marriage. He won't communicate with me. We know what that causes. He's not my friend. I can't talk to him or her. There's no love in marriage. Or there's no intimacy or sex in marriage, right? Creates rejection. It creates those wounds. See, wives, you don't understand that you could be causing wounds of rejection in your husbands. And husbands, you don't understand by not communicating, by not being romantic, by not being loving, by not being a friend. Like, you're creating those wounds. And then you wonder, what's wrong with you? I am mad. Pissed. Right? Divorce causes a lot of rejection. Okay, why? What did I do? You know, especially when you didn't do anything and you got cheated on or something like that. Children are innocent victims of divorce. That's why the Bible says God hates divorce. Moses did permit it because of the hardness of your heart. The law permitted it, but Bible says from the beginning that's not how it's supposed to be. And I know that maybe some of you are here who've been divorced. You probably will say, man, listen, choose right. Choose right the first time. You don't want to go through what I went through. Probably. I've heard so many people say that to me. Pastor, just tell them. Tell them that they don't want a divorce. They don't want a divorce. Okay? And see, the thing about God, He loves us, accepts us, even when we do make mistakes in our life. So that's not the point. This is a church where everybody's accepted, everybody's loved. Okay? Everybody's loved. Sometimes in church, people get rejected. Some of you have came from churches where you were rejected. You had a tattoo and somebody said, ooh, you can't be here. We don't want you here, man. Okay? Maybe you talk differently and they rejected you. Maybe you look differently and they rejected you. Okay? Sometimes pastors hurt their people. And sometimes people hurt pastors. Let me just make this straight once and for all, and I'll repeat it again in a couple of months. But at New Life Church, you might disagree with me and I might disagree with you. But one thing for sure, I will love you and I will not abandon you. Okay? A lot of people, maybe they will abandon and just disappear, but I will not. Now, let's say this. In the family, husband and wife and kids decided to paint the living room, okay? And the kids want it to be pink, and mom and dad want it to be this color. Well, mom and dad, not because they're better than their kids, but because of their position of authority in the family, they get less word. So sometimes people come to a pastor, and they would say, Pastor, this is what you should do. And pastor says, well, thank you for your advice. I'll take it into a consideration. But then he goes and does something else. Oh. That church is from the devil. It's not from God. Pastor didn't listen. Doesn't listen to anybody. He doesn't listen to anyone. I listened to you. I did. But I still have my own mind. And I thought this color was better. Okay? Let's just move on and agree to disagree and continue to love one another. At New Life Church, we're not going to deal with that. Everybody is entitled to their opinion. But, you know, if I am in position of a leadership, I have to make the final decision. Okay? Pastor, you should preach this and not preach that. What? I've had people come to my office and schedule an appointment so many times, and I'm like, oh, I'm just done. I have to preach what the Lord tells me to preach, what He opens. I have to listen to him. Bible says you shouldn't obey what man says. You should obey what God says. Now, not that I don't receive your advice. I love to hear your opinion as a pastor. But I have to make a decision. President Obama has a whole bunch of advisors, right? They give him all different advice, but he has to make a decision. In your business, you might have advisors. In your home, you might have friends who advise you, right? Hey, what do you think I should do? What do you think I should do? Hey, Dad, what do you think I should do? Mom, what do you think I should do? My friend. But eventually, you have to make a decision because you have to live with the decision. They're not responsible for decisions you make. You are. So make your own decision, right? Get advice, get counsel, Bible says, but make your own decision. But a lot of people get rejected in church. And a lot of pastors get hurt as well. And Jesus said, this how they will know that you're my disciples, because of the love that's among you. New Life Church, we want to be known because of our love. We want to be known for love. Amen. You might not like everybody. There's some difficult people, but you have to love them. Amen. You might not like, there's difficult people. Sometimes it's just personality clashes, right? Just my personality will clash with yours. You're peaceful. You like to think things through. I am kind of make a decision right now, you know. And so, you know, but that's not, you know, I still gotta love you. And you still gotta love me. Sometimes rejection happens in the school, and kids can be very cruel in school. Sometimes you can inflict self-rejection on yourself. Maybe you have some physical defects. Maybe you don't have a physical defect. I always thought that my head was flat and weird. Okay? And I lived with this weird thing. I'm always self-conscious, you know. People stand behind me. What are they thinking of my head? You know? I had red hair, and I thought that was bad, but it's okay. Redheads are cool. All right? They get things done, I tell you. They're in control. Maybe you're too skinny. You're too fat. Maybe you're too short. You're too tall. Maybe you have big butt. Maybe you have no butt. Maybe you have big boobs. Maybe you have no boobs. Whatever. God created you like yourself. Amen. Maybe, how do you know a person has a rejection spirit in them? The root of rejection? You come to them and say, oh, you look good today. And you know what they say? What are you saying? I didn't look good yesterday. Rejection. You see what I mean? Snap at you. Or you in a room in a church. Why doesn't anybody come and talk to me? Why doesn't the pastor? Doesn't he know? You come talk to him. But see, you got rejection and you're so afraid of maybe me saying, hey, can you schedule an appointment maybe this week? Right? Are you getting what I'm saying, guys? Sometimes rejection is not real, though. And it's perceived rejection. What is perceived rejection? You think people are going to reject you. You think people are not going to like you because you don't like yourself. So you think nobody's going to love me. I can't be loved. King Saul was a king of Israel. They would go to war and big Goliath comes out and says, I will fight any one of you. And if I win, you will be our slaves. And if one of your men wins, we will be your slaves. Nobody comes out except little David, 16, 17-year-old boy, comes out with a little slingshot. And a stone. The big giant laughs at David. But David is not scared. He takes the stone, knocks him out. Israel wins. And there's a big parade. You know, when there's victory, there's a big parade, especially in those days. King and his army and his generals driving into town. And all the women go, ah! Flower petals, you know, throwing. And people started singing. Saul killed thousands. David killed tens of thousands. They didn't reject Saul. Saul was still the king. But in his heart, he perceived rejection. Let me show you this. 1 Samuel 18:7 through 12. Let's put that up there. So when the woman sang and they danced and they said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Then Saul was very angry. See, perceived rejection. And saying, this saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000s, and to me, they have ascribed only thousands. Well, David was a hero for a day, okay? You're a king. Now, what more can he have but my kingdom? Perceived rejection. So Saul-eyed, evil eye, that's called eye. Somebody eyed. So Saul-eyed David from the day forward, and it happened in the next day, distressing spirit from God came upon Saul and he prophesied inside the house. So David played music with his hand as the other times, but there was a spear in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, I will pin David to the wall. But David escaped his presence twice. Next verse. Now Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, but he had departed from Saul. Distressing spirit. Wounds of rejection cause distressing spirits to come into our life and bother us. Have you ever had unforgiveness in your heart? What does it do to you? It doesn't touch that other person so much. It's you, right? You see what I'm saying? Rejection is the powerful tool of the devil. God is love and his kingdom is a kingdom of love. So Satan looks for a door. So he creates these bitter roots. He creates this rejection roots in your life. So he has a door to come in and bother you. Okay? Disturb you. Okay? Because rejection is denial or abuse of love, Satan hates love. Rejection is an easy, open door for the devil to come in. What are some fruits of rejection? Fruits of rejection. Here's the list. Tendency to reject others. That's the fruit of rejection. So that you are not rejected, or that you're not the first one to be rejected. I don't like you. Why? Because you might not like me. Okay? Fake personalities. Being somebody you're not in order to be accepted. Please love me. Rebellion is fruit of rejection. Need to be fit in. That excessive need. I need to fit in. I always need to be around you. Because if I leave you, you might leave me. Tendency to blame God. Why did he give me this big nose? Why? Why did God make me so short? 2 more inches, God, would be nice. Fruit of rejection is inability to be corrected or receive correction. How do you respond? You know, one of the church sacraments is church discipline. That means pastor comes to you and say, hey, you need to, you know, this is this area of your life you need to work on. I'm done with that church. Everybody hates me. It's so judgmental. Everybody's so judgmental in that church. No, we just love you. And Bible says, if you love somebody, if a brother is living in sin, you go tell him. But you get so offended. I'm done with that church. We need to look for another church. And you know you're not going to look for another church. Satan is just trying to get you out of the church. You know, church is where we get our spiritual inner man batteries recharged. Right? And when you're out, you get further and further. He can do whatever he wants in your life. You see what I mean? An ability to be corrected. Too sensitive is one of the things. Feeling worthlessness, insecurity, and hopelessness. Always seeking approval. Parents' approval. Because you think if they don't approve you, you know, your identity is in the approval of your parents. When I experienced personal rejection, and that's something I've never probably talked about. When we started this church, people that the church we went previously all of our life. That's one. I only went to one church before we started this one. They kind of all rejected us. They said, we don't want nothing to do with you. And my parents went to that church too. And so my parents started saying, we don't want nothing to do with you. We don't want to even hear you talk about it. You know, we would have a person saved in our church and I'd be so excited. They'd be like, Mom, Dad, you know how a son is supposed to, it's supposed to be that way. Mom, Dad, listen. And Mom and Dad, Mom would be like, I got to wash dishes here. She wouldn't do anything. She just would just ignore it. And I just felt so rejected. And I'd be like, why do I care what my mom thinks of me? Why is my identity so tied into my mom? Right? Rejection. Because of rejection. It's painful. It's removing love. It's removing that compassion understanding. And then one day, we were married and it affected my life. Rejection affected my life. One day, I was so feeling down. Can I share this with you? Some personal stuff. I was born at 12. I moved and I have an accent. But the problem is, I have an accent in every language that I speak. So if I speak Ukrainian accent, they laugh at me. I speak English accent. And I'm like, who am I? Where do I belong? My community, Ukrainian community, kind of rejected me. The church community. And really, I don't feel a part of this community yet. And about 10 years of our marriage, I remember our friends, Dimitri, you know Dimitri who comes here, evangelist, missionary. We went to, it was our 10-year anniversary, and we invited them to go with us on vacation. I ruined that vacation. Well, thank you for that support. Ruined. I was so bitter. I was so hurt. I was so rejected. I just couldn't. I ruined that vacation. I want to buy them someday a vacation and just take them for free for the one I ruined for them. Because rejection, you become so, I hated myself. I was on the beach once there, and I wanted to learn to surf. So I saw this dude with a pickup, and a lot of those people live like that. They have a pickup and a camper and a pickup. So I went and started surfing with him, and he told me that he was from Washington, and he had a business, and he had a great marriage, and it fell apart. And he said, a lot of guys here, you will see, they're living on the beach in their pickups or camps, small tents. They're the one that they got hurt, and they just left everything. And rejection will make you want to give up. So I came home. I remember this so, and I dreamed of escape. I wanted to run. I wanted to leave the church, the family. I didn't, you know, rejection doesn't give you a sound mind. So you're just like, God, I just want to leave. Have you ever felt like escaping? I know you have. Don't raise your hand. I just want to leave. I just want to get out of here. I just want to be free. And you dream of something that's not real. It's not real. I got 1 minute, and I got to get some people saved here. we'll come back next week, okay? Because I have secrets of uprooting the root of rejection. And I have 4 points on that. I have 3 pages today. I knew I wasn't going to get it done. But in life groups, I want you to talk about this. There's a lot of materials that I preach here for you to talk about. Next week, invite somebody, because something's going to happen, okay? Close your eyes, please, bow your head. One of the causes that creates rejection is we identify ourselves with other people and what they think of us. But today, I feel like God is wanting some people to experience Him and His love. Human love sometimes could be temporary. I know our parents love us unconditionally, but even they sometimes can fail us. But God's love will never fail you. And Bible says for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. Today, God wants to come in into your heart. Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart. He wants to come in and fill you with His love, that you're not dependent on other people's love. If they love you, great. If they don't, you know that God loves you unconditionally. One of the ways God chose to reveal Himself in this world is through love. The love of God that surpasses all understanding. The greatest gift is love, Bible says. Pursue love. God loves you. He gave His Son for you. So my question to you, do you know Jesus? Is He living in your heart? Maybe you backslidden. Today I want to give you an opportunity to respond and get saved. Maybe you never knew Him. And finally, something clicked. I need the love of God in my life. On a count of three, would you please raise your hand and raise it high if you want to give your life to Jesus. I want to tell you, we don't save. I don't save, but Jesus saves. His Holy Spirit is here knocking at your heart. That's why your heart is beating really fast right now, because He's speaking to you. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And then there's demonic fear saying, no, 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 not today. Not today. Don't give your life to Jesus today. Listen, don't listen to that voice. Listen to the voice of love. God says, I love you, I want to forgive you, and I want to give you a family and make you a part of my family. On a count of three, please raise your hand and raise it high if you want to give your life to Jesus. One, two, three, please raise your hand. One hand, two hands, three hands, four hands. Woo! Come on, celebrate, church! If you raised your hand or if you didn't, I want everyone to pray together. Say, Jesus, save me, forgive me, come into my heart and live. Transform my life. From this day forth, I believe that I'm saved. My sins are all forgiven and the love of God has entered my heart through Christ Jesus. I'm a new creation. I'm about to live a new life. From this day forward, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Clap your hands and bless God.